Welcome back, everybody. It's good to have you with us here on the Mark Sonner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. On the way to this conversation, I want to remind you the Mark Sonner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From limiting overtesting to protecting public school funding, you can learn more about the issues facing Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org. Or SignerShow.org is the Maryland State Education Association banner. So we did this show a few months ago, and I really want to make it a regular conversation on our air, which has to do with the power of yoga, meditation, Tai Chi, a different way of thinking about the world and looking that empowers people internally to deal with what we face externally. Some people think, oh, no, this is like, you know, we're just doing this because this makes us feel good and we can all be healthy. No, this is about the power inside that you can then create a better world on the outside as well. And I was jokingly calling this Changa Square to Michelle. Which means Changa Bell's in the house. He's owner of Sunlight and Yoga Holistic Wellness Center, host of Relationship Experience here on WEA on Wednesdays at 7. Good to have in the studio, Changa.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Changa Anyango is with us, executive director of the group Harvest LLC. Good to have you back in the house.
Hey.
And that's the squared part. Here's Michelle Stafford, who is Wellness Director at the Living Well Center for Social and Economic Vibrancy. Michelle, good to have you in the house, as always.
Thank you.
And you all can join us here, 410-319-8888. Write to us here, talk@steinershow.org. By email, you can also tweet us at Mark Steiner, but do join in at 410-319-8888. So, you know, Changa, we started this, we ran into each other in the parking lot and said we have to kind of resurrect this.
Yeah, I enjoyed the conversation, and especially being up here with Changa and Michelle and just, you know, trying to get some momentum behind the movement and get people motivated to bring this stuff to the youth.
I mean, because we have, are we going to say, you're about to jump in, were you?
I'm always about to jump in.
Changa Anyango.
Right. So, this piece about the youth and this piece about bringing our healing. And I know healing is like an overused word. You know, it's like they turn it into such a cliche kind of thing.
A little woo-woo feeling.
Right. But, you know, that's one thing I'm not. And I'm never
you
about
say you're
that.
Not woo-woo?
No, I'm not woo-woo. But... You know, I am very serious about resilience, you know, and being able to quantify our resilience, you know, because we already have demonstrated an exceeding amount of resilience as people in an urban setting who are still thriving and still creating space for ourselves and still advocating for ourselves. And then, but to be able to quantify the mechanics of that and then be able to look at that and say, well, how are they doing that? And to make sure that all of the young people are getting the how so that they, you know, because there's a certain innate resilience that we're going to have. But to be able to look and say, no, we're using this particular practice. This is why, this is how, this is when, and pass that on. That's very important.
Because that resilience has to come from more than just the person at the moment, the young people at the moment. That resilience has to come from someplace. Right. It has to be helped to be found. Mm-hmm. I think we forget that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things that has been focused on in the past is just working on the kids. And now we're realizing that it has to be broader than that. So we're working on teachers, teaching mindfulness in schools. I'm working with Dr. Leon Caldwell at Furman Templeton, where we're teaching the teachers how to meditate and do yoga and just take time to... like get out for a second.
Yeah,
we call it 10, taking emotional notice.
Hmm.
Yeah,
how important is that?
I think it's critically important.
Yeah, because these young people bring a certain set of attitudes right to the classroom, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we have this culture clash in the classroom between a teacher, not only as academic culture versus hood culture, right? But we also have this culture clash between, you know, middle class, you know, this class piece, right? Middle class versus not middle class. We also have another intersection of white culture or professional culture versus, you know, again, hood culture or what have you. So with all of that conflict going on in the classroom, you have to have these modalities that we're talking about.
So I'm curious, you know, we have to take a break here and just a quick break. We'll come right back in like 90 seconds. But I really do want to explore. I mean, A, we're facing this crisis in our city schools, which means programs like yours you're talking about, Michelle, could go by the wayside, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So, and because deemed is not critical.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to talk about the critical nature of all that. Mm-hmm. I was watching a video last night, as a matter of fact, a friend of mine sent of a Tai Chi master fighting a wrestler and how the wrestler could not budge him, move him from the spot he was standing in.
Right.
He was a little guy, the wrestler was a big guy, and he kept flipping the wrestler down by just a simple move. Right. Remember that happened to me 40 years ago when I fought a Tai Chi master and found out the power of Tai Chi from how I was just knocked all over the room by this little guy.
The hard way.
The hard way, yeah. Right? But that says a lot to me about what we have to teach and how we have to come into our communities and schools. And where would you begin to do that? Right. What would we need to do? We're going to take a short break and explore that with Changa Squared and Michelle. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on The Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We're exploring the power of meditation, yoga, change in our community, how we do it in a different way. I had an interesting Facebook message from my good friend Antonio Carpenter, who does all this with his young people in middle school, where he's teaching math and Latin and farming. So I told him he could join us next time on the air, but right now he's teaching. So if he joins us, you can call in. I'd like to hear from you and everybody else at 410-319-8888. You can email us at talk@steinershow.org. You can also tweet us at Mark Steiner. I'd love to hear how you use yoga, meditation, how it fits into your life, what it's done for you, why you do it, why maybe you're doing Tai Chi, why you gave up the karate and started doing something that comes from the inside out. 410-319-8888. We're here with our Changa Squared, Changa Nyango, Executive Director of Group Harvest LLC, Changa Bell, who's owner of Sunlight and Yoga Holistic Wellness Center and host of The Relationship Experience here on WEA every night, Wednesday night at 7, and Michelle Stafford, Wellness Director at the Living Well Center for Social and Economic Vibrancy. So if we said, okay, X amount of money is here for the three of you and others to create programs in our schools. Let me just start there with our students and teachers.
Right.
What would that look like? What would you do to kind of change the nature of what happens in the culture of schools because of what you could bring to that place?
Well, I think that's a great question because I think we don't know yet because it needs to be a coalition for us. There's so many silos of people doing the work we're doing in the city. And I think it's time for us to get organized, not necessarily for the sake of our kids, but just for the sake of us as well. So we're all siloed across, like everybody has sort of robust and thriving communities that they've curated on their own.
Right.
But how would we? How would that look as a coalition? That is the question.
Right.
Well, I have to say, it's funny how the universe works, because when I was here the last time, you said, oh, are you working with the Robert Coleman School? And I said, no, I just read a lot. And so I left that day, and I was talking to Dominic Nell on the phone. I was like, yeah, that's what I did today or whatever. He was like, oh, that's the school I'm starting in. I just started last week, and I need somebody to help me.
Boom.
And so now I'm working in the school.
That's wild.
With mindful eating. So we're teaching the kids how to grow microgreens, and we have them eating vegetables. Like, right. We literally have them eating heads of Brussels sprouts and asking for more. They're drinking kombucha. They're identifying the vegetables now. The challenge that we're facing is when their parents come in, the parents are like, oh, what's that? You know, and so we, the one child that grew their microgreens took it home, and they said their mother was like, oh, don't bring that in here. It stinks, you know. So we are looking at expanding into the home for the kids, teaching the parents also, bringing them in. So it's not, like I was saying before, it's not just about the kids. It's about broadening. So we're already doing the work. And like Changa Bell said, it's very important that we work together so that, A, we're not, you know, we can network and use social capital to help each other, sharing spaces and ideas. But also, we have to keep a record of what we're doing so that we can show Because we can't just say, oh, I'm just teaching this yoga, you know. Right. We have to say, well, this, you know, suspensions went down. The kids are focused more. Things like that, measurable outcomes. We have to keep a record.
Right. Which is what they always want. They want these measurable outcomes.
Yeah, of course.
They do, but it's worth it. And it's even better for us so that we can actually see. So we're not just, you know, just doing it and not paying attention.
No, I wasn't right to put that down. I think you're right, yeah.
So you get, yeah, so the asset mapping piece that Mr. Bell is talking about, and that's a huge piece. A lot of time we talk about threat mapping or deficit mapping, which is like, let's see all the hot spots where things are going absolutely wrong and what have you, and that actually adds to trauma. Right. But when we talk about asset mapping, what we're talking about is looking at a body, right? Which right now we're talking about the student body, Baltimore City, right? And look at where they're doing well and look at the places where they excel, right? And that's from student body of the entire city. Then we go down to one school and then we go down to one individual child. Right. And so for me, if I were to launch a program, which I don't really believe in this idea of programs, right? Because programs always have a start and an end.
Sustainable.
Yeah. Right. And a funding source that is usually not sustainable. Right. So when you say program, you pretty much can put those three tags on it. So, you know, to me, it's not about programs. It's about deciding as a school district what is the important thing, right? And so we have to decide what's strong. What are we producing in Baltimore, right? Are we producing math guys? Are we producing writers? Are we producing, you know, people who think in a technical realm? Like, who are we producing? One school, New Era, has got a program where they are trying to really work as hard on non-traditional pathways like maritime things, you know, or maritime careers or careers at the dock as much as they're trying to work on college readiness, you know, because there is a space where a kid can leave high school with the basics, go into a career for 20 years around maritime things, you know, and sustain himself. And so if that's what we're looking for, to create full round people, if all that kid wants to do is be on boats and be around boats and he can make a living doing it, who are we to traumatize him by saying, no, you got to go to college, you got to do this, you got to do that?
So, I mean, go ahead, Michelle.
Going back to the sustainability piece, one of the things that we're doing at the school is teaching them how to integrate the meditation, the yoga, and all that into the culture. So we come in with the program and equip the teachers with how to do these things, and they then pass it down to the kids. So if you teach it to the kids, it's a program, there's a beginning and end, and what have you. And the teachers are just, you know, they're kind of on the outside and they're looking in. They're like, oh, that's the thing the kids are doing right now, and I got a break in the coffee room. Right. But we're teaching the teachers, and they then can use it and integrate it in their curriculum for longevity. Absolutely. So that's the idea, is to make it sustainable that way.
Yes.
So go ahead, Changa Bell.
No, I was just going to say that Changa was talking about some of the basic principles of economics, like, you know, efficiency. So deciding, you know, specialization. So who can do what the best?
Yeah.
And I agree with that. And I think, you know, that is a direction we need to go in, because right now, sort of being a jack of all trades and just throwing Band-Aids at these larger cracks in the dam is not going to really work, and it's not benefiting us. And so it still comes down to that fundamental question of how are we going to coalesce and really take control over our community instead of trying to you know, propagate what they are already establishing for us. The education system is a conditioning system. It's not education.
Right.
We're not teaching education. So first of all, we can just stop calling it education. We can start calling it conditioning, and you know, and that helps right there, because now you know what you're dealing with. You're identifying the root of the problem, and now we can pull up that weed and plant something firm.
So, but how would you all imagine bringing something very different to that place? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's taking for even for a moment the pedagogical philosophy out of it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But what do you, what would you, what could and would you and folks like you who do the work that you do mm-hmm. bring differently inside the system? What would you do?
For me, and I've spent some time thinking about this, right? Right now working on a project where I'm associated with the Alliance for Community Teachers in Schools, which works out of Loyola. And we are looking at authentic engagement practices, right? How can you come to the table as a teacher and bring your whole self and not diminish who the student is now, was before, and will be, right? So that is basically saying, let's come to the, as a school system, let's come to the table and assess who this child is, not on a scale of 1 to 10, right? But more like on a scale of, okay, this guy's a gardener, all the way to this guy is a computer genius, right? And then we restructure education based on where this kid is, who this kid is, right? And because education is, if you look at the Latin root, is about bringing out what's already where? Exactly. Inside of exactly. the child. Yeah. So if we're not doing education, right, as a system-wide, we should be doing education, which means that first we have to take the bold step of knowing who the child is, which means that elementary school teacher needs to be focused, yes, on the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, the basics, right? We don't have a huge literacy problem at that level like we do in middle school, right? Why? Because that student is playing games. That's what they do. Like, that's how they learn. It's easy for a teacher to come in and say, okay, boom, let's play some games today. But they should be looking at who is that child, and then from that sixth grade time on, they should be focusing on mainly who that child is going to be. They've already demonstrated this is where their aptitude is. Let's focus there.
But if you are coming into, what are you going to say, Michelle?
I would like to step back and say, why do we need to bring yoga and meditation into right. school? Like, right. what is the purpose? There was a man who, when I did my presentation at Furman Templeton, he was in the front and he's like very defensive right. and not open to the things that I was doing. And I was so happy to be sitting next to him. And he's like, this stuff is the woo-woo stuff, and right. it's all about the flower children are running the country today, and I like my guns. And I was like, you know what? That's good. Like, your guns and you going out to shoot outside is your meditation. And that's what works for you. Yoga doesn't work for everybody. The reason why we do things like yoga and meditation is because it shrinks the part of the brain that is your flight or fight. Your amygdala becomes very strong and overtakes you when you experience adversity and trauma and things like that. And so that's why if you bump into somebody and they're stressed, they smack you in the head, you know, because that's they're very good at acting out. So meditation, yoga, and things like that helps to strengthen the part of your brain that is your reasoning, your communication, your creativity. So this is what we're doing for the kids. Right. So we have to understand that first instead of saying, oh, I just want to teach you this and give you the flower and we're going to breathe together. Right. We're changing their brains and giving them the ability to cope with when traumatic things happen again.
So what Michelle Stafford is saying, Sangabel, is what we see into some really deep ways here is what the power of yoga, meditation and other forms similar do to change our being and yeah. what they do for the children in the schools mm-hmm. and teachers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to sound like the broken record today. I'm going to keep going back. I'm going to go. So before we went to break, you were talking about the Tai Chi master in the system. So I think right. it's a fantasy to think of the Matrix, like me or Chango or Michelle being Neo and addressing the system. That individual, no matter how powerful he or she is not going to be able to change the system. Think about our language when we talk about private education. We talk about private schools. That's what we call them. I went to Calvert Hall. We talk about Gilman, Bryn Mawr. We don't call it the private school system because it's not a system. They deviate whenever they want to address the body or the population that's there at the moment. That is the issue. So as long as we are going to sit here, and you know, it does, sometimes I struggle to get out of bed because I feel like that Neo And I'm going around a bunch of Smiths, and it's only a certain time, a matter of time, that once you start to get headway, Smith is going to take you over and put you out the system and say your services are no longer needed if they can't control you. So it's an individual versus a system. So either we coalesce so that it's system versus system, which I don't know what that is going to really turn out like, because now you're talking like war terminology or the war type of thing, or just that privatization, that grouping, and dealing with, as Chango Yongo said, the individualization within the community so that we can truly educate and not, you know, commodify this whole.
But I guess what I'm trying to get to here as well is a little bit what Michelle was talking about a moment ago, which was the power of yoga and meditation to transform people, young people and people internally.
Your body biologically, like scientifically.
And also the way we view the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. What it does. I mean, I was thinking about these young people on the street in the community now who are carjacking all over the place. Mm-hmm. Right? It's become a real issue for people. Mm-hmm. One of my producers had a friend who was carjacked in the 2300 block of Charles Street in broad daylight,
mm-hmm.
by three young guys. And so my thought immediately went to, okay, well, you can grab these young guys and you can put them in jail for carjacking. It's a violent act, and, you know, they got to have some repercussions for what they do. They can't go around pulling guns out and taking people's car and forcing guns. You can't have that. Nobody wants to live like that. But what would be an alternative way to address young people who confront the law,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just putting them in jail?
Well, I created that OHM space and it didn't get funded. That's what I'm saying. So the prioritization, that is exactly my philosophy. We had this format where we would put people in an ashram-like experience and convert them, because the process of becoming a yoga teacher changes you. So my theory was simple. Give everybody certified, registered status and convert them to yoga teachers, because that would then be an anti-cancer, if you will. Then they could go back, each one teach one. However, until that's prioritized by, you know, a system or some group of private people who say, all right, we'll fund that, it's going to, you know, it has been ineffective.
Go ahead, Michelle. I saw you going to jump through the mic. Go ahead.
Raising my hand like I'm in school.
You know,
am I next?
We see you.
Let's talk radio.
So it's... The Living Well is not funded by anyone, and I'm blessed to be able to spend a lot of my time volunteering. Basically, when I teach a class, if I don't have a ton of people show up, then it's okay. I have people come to my class for free. I've been blessed recently with Lululemon. They gave us some money to run and do whatever I wanted to, basically. So I'm starting an 8-week program designed to teach and certify, if you will, service workers to meditate, do yoga, a simple yoga practice, and breathing. Then they can pass that on to the people they work with, either directly teaching them what they learned or just because they're taking care of themselves, they don't act out when they encounter someone who is difficult. It is a start, and I'm basically staying in my lane. So I think that one of the challenges that we run into is I've heard people say, well, you come in here with this yoga and kids are hungry, and now, like, well, that's not my lane, right? My lane is yoga. I'm here to teach yoga.
Right.
And I have this program starting. If you want more information, you can just email me at michelle@livewellbemore.com. It's going to be free to all service workers, police officers, teachers, community activists, whomever could come in and sign up.
Now, you see what we sound like, though. Imagine if the civil rights movement went like that. And it was just Dr. King promoting Dr. King.
Right.
And it was just Malcolm promoting Malcolm. It has to be a movement.
Right.
Otherwise, we're each going to just sound like this once a month. And it's just not going to.
Well, what I mean by staying in our lane is doing what you're good at, right? So then I then say, okay, I'm good at yoga. I'm teaching yoga. This is what I'm doing. And you say, oh.
But how effective has that been?
How can we do this
together? Effective? We've been in our lanes for 10 years. How effective has it been?
When I say lane, I mean, doing what you're good at, right?
I understand that, but I'm asking about the effectiveness. How effective has it been?
For me, It's been very effective.
Not for you, because we're talking about the youth. We're talking about a group of individuals who carjack. So even these three young men, if they could, even if they get to come to yours, there's 10 more behind them tomorrow. So how effective has it been? Right. It's like a feudal, thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
like, this is where we've all started.
We've all started, and we're doing. So we have to change that. We have to change the game. We have to make a movement. We have to make a coalition.
First, let me apologize if this is going to be a much longer program today, and we're truncating it because of the dedication to place.
Right.
But let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. Antonio Carpenter, he and I have an email conversation, a Facebook conversation about the program today. Antonio, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good. It's good to be with you, Mark. I'm honored to be among such esteemed guests as you have. Shanga and I go back a minute. I just want to say that is that I think that right now we need to be a confederation. That is, everybody is needs to be aware of what the other person is doing and find out ways that we can be more effectively collaborating, doing more activities where Shanga and I and anybody else get together and do a bigger thing where we can get more publicity, more attention, and kind of coalesce until the system catches up with us, because we're at the front edge of it, and so the system is not caught up with us yet. But in my work, I'm a neuroscientist by training, so my work has to do with Tai Chi and teaching mindfulness practices that span the entire gamut of your life, like form, your body, your feelings, perceptions, mental formations like anger and consciousness, where you teach mindfulness practices that allow you to learn to manage your emotional response to stress in all of those situations, whether it's your parents or the teacher or the police or anything like that, as to be able to do that. But it has to be connected with some cognitive restructuring type stuff that I do with neuroscience that teaches young men how to change the conditioned behavior that they have learned from childhood, only it's unconscious or subconscious for them. They don't even realize what they're doing, but you can train them to consciously become more focused. And the meditative process is to slow down the mind so that you have a chance to step back and make a conscious decision rather than make the automatic decision, which is based on your childhood. So to me, it's a matter of all of us working more closely together. I mean, I went up and saw Changa at his place. So it's about us, the ones who are in the field. I think Changa has a point when he says we've been in our lanes too long. We need to be doing more coalescing around all of the people who are doing this kind of work so we can do bigger things together and really apply to get funding that looks like a larger kind of approach. His approach to have an ashramic situation is ideal, but I don't think that they're ready for that at this point.
And the thing that I have to ask about that is, yes, we know that yoga works. Yes, we understand the connection between our traditional healing technologies that we've had for thousands and tens of thousands of years and outcomes in life. But we also know that there's this piece that my child doesn't understand what a man is strictly from me talking to him a few hours a day. Right. Has to be a network of men that I have him around. And so if we're looking at young people who spend 6 to 8 hours a day in the company of schools, right, and 3 to 4 hours a day in the company of their parents who may have the best wishes, or and then even less in the company of after school type practitioners, you know, and what have you, on average, where is the biggest impact being felt? You got to know that the biggest impact is at school. So this idea about a confederation, this idea about attacking this issue from a bunch of different directions is absolutely the answer. But there's also this piece to be considered about de-incentivizing in the school system, all of the resistance that we get. Right? We have to be able to de-incentivize that. What is the incentive for a school to have spend however much money it takes to have calm, well-rounded, well-fed children in classrooms that are ready to, you know, ready to learn? Like, what is their incentive to do that?
Well, I mean, I think that what I'm trying to get through here today, I think, is to talk about what we'll do next time, maybe, is to really talk about the importance of that and how we get that conversation started. I mean, because you can go to study after study after study. There was a study in behavioral psychiatry that showed somebody who showed working with meditation and yoga with 35 intensely unemployed people who were stressed out, and how their blood levels and showed the stress levels had calmed down to help them get through what they got through the life they faced,
right.
Which is no different than what we're talking about with our kids in inner city schools,
right.
You know, or how the high school I finally graduated from many years ago, they started every day out with what they called morning music, mm-hmm, which was, mm-hmm, was classical music, but it was a calming time when nobody spoke for a half an hour, just sat there and meditated to this calming music that was around them before we started our day in school. Now, that was important.
Right.
And how you get schools to see that you can start your day quietly in small settings in individual classrooms with that kind of quiet, where yoga is part of physical education and strengthening. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that either. I've always said to people that if you want to look at the strongest human beings I know, physically strongest human beings I know, are people who do yoga, yep, not people who lift weights.
Yep.
Because of what it builds inside of you. I mean, changing the way we think and getting that conversation going in a larger way so people begin to think that way, mm-hmm, so you can actually get, I mean, that, you know, that's how you, I think you have to do that. It's no easy process, is getting one school to do it. I mean, private schools know it, but then private schools have their own system that create a healthy body of young people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it's absolutely a different dynamic. You have people who are in comfortable situations, mm-hmm, that they have the money to eat breakfast or to, right, get to school safely and don't have to look at buildings that are dilapidated and things like that. So when you run into challenges, the teachers themselves are stressed out and you come in and you look like this flower child that's unrelatable, then they're like, who are you coming in here telling us what to do? Mm-hmm. You know? And then so we have to come in as people who can relate to those people.
What was it you said when you were here last time, Michelle? I think it was you who said it. I wasn't sure which one of y'all three said it. but it was that, what did you call it, black people's yoga? What did you say?
Oh, you call it? I did. And they were like, I can't believe you said that on the air. Black people yoga.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah. It's relatable. You have to be relatable. A lot of people say that you have to be able to relate to your instructor. And it's not even just a black people yoga thing. Like,
it's a
young person who hasn't had injuries or things like that isn't going to understand that someone with back pain can't do, you know, a headstand or something. Like, you can't have a 40-year-old person with cervical, like a neck pain, to do a headstand. But someone who's 20 is like, we're just going to do this now. And you're like, whoa. Like, you have to understand who you're working with. You have to know your audience.
Like trap yoga. I do trap music with the young men at the living, mm-hmm, classrooms, because, you know, mm-hmm, I take out the lyrics. We do yoga to trap instrumental, but yeah, so instantly they get, right, the vibe and it's relatable. So that is a very powerful tool to use.
So, I mean, these conversations I think are really important, and what I want to do is kind of figure out over the next few months if we do this together is how to really hone in on the conversations we have to really talk about the power of meditation and yoga and Tai Chi, mm-hmm, and what they do to change lives in terms of our inner health and our inner spirit, mm-hmm, that can affect our children, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely.
Every day.
We can say it all day, though. People aren't really going to understand until they try it and see for themselves.
Exactly.
I mean, I come from a bodybuilding background, and there was yoga all around me. And I tried it once, and I was like, oh, that was nice, but is that going to help me get, like, six-pack abs? I went to yoga when I needed it, when I was in pain, and then I saw results. So now I'm hooked.
They don't care about the six-pack no more.
Well, I mean, it's
she
nice.
Does.
It just stays there. Yeah, I was going to say, it just stays
she
there.
Does.
What do you say,
Chaka? Yes, she does. But I think Michelle brings up a good point, because it always is. Yoga is like a remedy, so it's not something, it's meant to be preventative, but we use it like a remedy. Like, once the body is sick, we turn to like, oh, where's the yoga?
Well, that's how we do. We right. don't fix it. We don't. We only change when the power of staying the same, when the pain of staying the same is harder than changing.
So we will come back to this in the next few weeks.
A 1980s R&B lyric.
For a much longer conversation. And I want to thank our Changa Squared, Changa Onyango, Executive Director of Group Harvest LLC, and Changa Bell, owner of Sunlight and Yoga Holistic Wellness Center, who you can hear
Tomorrow night at
7 p.m. here in WEAA with his new program, Michelle Stafford, Wellness Director at Living Well Center for Social and Economic Vibrancy. And when people want to contact you, is Michelle with a 1L or 2?
2.
2.
Yes.
It's important. They'll never get you otherwise.
That's right. Diva Yogi.
So good to have you three in the studio. And we'll be doing this again in a more consistent way. Thank you all for being part of the show today. Good to all have you all with us here. We covered two really important subjects today. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our production assistant is Nadia Ramlagan. Our intern is Morgan Senior 8 Michael Dixon. Engineer is Andre Melton, as always. And our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Queen Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. Podcast Mark Steiner Show. Share with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.